Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about science.
It's morning in America.
Don't know much about the
students and students in our friend Josh Hoekstra's class can't say they don't know much about history. They're learning a ton. They use America the Last Best Hope, which is fine, but that's incidental to our conversation. At least I think so. What's central is the brilliant idea that Josh had. He's a history teacher at Rosemont, right? Rosemont High School?
Yep, Rosemont High School.
In Minneapolis, St. Paul. Give us the background again. Folks may have forgotten about this bracket thing, so give us context, Josh.
Well, here's the background. You know, about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when the NCAA basketball tournament was taking place, I just thought, you know what, the kids are into basketball here. They're excited about this tournament. I thought, why not develop a bracket for the most courageous American? So what we did is we had the kids selected 64 people they thought were, from the studies we had through the year, the most courageous Americans. And they also, I had each kid select one. And I, of course, you know, looked through the pile, and they had one-page justification for who they selected. And I'll tell you what, they did an amazing job. I would say out of the 64, I have 170 students, so we narrowed it down to 64. I think I might have added four or five names, and that's it. They all came up with just great names. And so once we had the names narrowed down or selected, what I did is I took the names, and I just put them in a hat, and I randomly drew them out. And I just place them in brackets, just like you'd see in an NCAA basketball bracket board. And so what happened with doing this is it created some just fantastic matchups.
And the matchup is for most courageous America.
Most courageous. Now, I should go back. I'm going to backtrack. On the very first day of school, the first thing we did, so I could get a writing sample from these kids, is I had them define their own personal definition of courage on the inside of their notebook. And I said, you know, this is something that, you know, that this is your own, and it could stay the same throughout the year through your experiences in class, in sports, in church, or whatever you're doing, or it might evolve into something totally different. And so they had something that they believe is personal and they can look to. So, you know, one person's definition of courage is going to be very different from the person sitting next to them. And that's what makes this tournament great, because they all view these people in the tournament a little bit differently. For example, the very first matchup we had in the tournament was Abraham Lincoln versus John Paul Jones. And the way I run it is this, is that I assign a certain research project or assignment the night before the vote. So they have to go home and do something with these people. And they come in the next day, and they have an assignment that I check, and then what I allow the kids to do is to go back and forth and debate. And usually, you've got some, like for example, some Jones supporters, you've got some Abe Lincoln supporters, and they debate it back and forth, and some kids say, well, Lincoln is so courageous because imagine what it took to preside over this split, this division, this
right,
horror.
Right.
And then some people say, John Paul Jones, are you kidding me? That guy sailed into the eye of the hurricane. He sailed and took on the British, you know, right off their own shores. And then they go into the personal things that Jones did during the attack, the Bonhomme-Richard, the Serapis. I mean, they really go into it. And then they debate, well, this military stuff's more courageous. No, being president and ordering men to the battlefield, you know, all these things. And I let it go for as long as the conversation is a quality one. And I kind of feel like as soon as it dies a little bit, I'll say, okay, take, you know, 20 seconds of pure silence. Everybody think about who you're going to vote for. And they all just sit there, they mull it over, and I just say, all right, Lincoln supporters, raise your hand. And they raise them, Jones supporters, raise them. And I just keep track hour to hour, and at the end of the day, by seventh hour, you know, at the end of the hour, we'll have a winner. And what's amazing about it is I'll have kids from my first, second, third hour who are running up after the bell to find out what happened in the seventh hour, because, you know, oftentimes it's close, and that seventh hour will be the one to decide it.
Yeah, fascinating, well, fascinating. Just as author here, just personal privilege. These stories come out of the America the Last Best Hope.
I would say 90 to 95% are coming out of.
Yeah, there. No, I'm not looking for a pat on the back. So I could say, if I were talking about the book, I could say there are at least 75, 80 real, genuine heroes in that book series, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing, is that there are kids who are saying, man, I can't believe this guy didn't make it to the tournament, or this woman didn't make it into the tournament. That's what's great about this. You could have a whole different 64 and be as legit as what I'm doing. I mean, there's just so many people you could put in.
But now to make the argument, they have to go back to the book or other books to make the case, right?
So, absolutely.
For example, they have to learn history to make their case, son of a gun.
Yeah, and I want to make a point. Yesterday we started the round of 32, and we had a matchup. Dick Winters, you know, of the 101st Airborne, was taking on Nathan Hale. Now, we'd already voted on both those guys. Both those guys made it out of the first round. And so what I tell the kids, you can't come in here with the same argument you used in the first round. You got to come up with new stuff.
You can't play the same basketball game you played in the first round and the second round.
No. In fact, when I checked the homework, I said, we know that Nathan Hale was executed for spy. We want to go deeper than that. And it forces their hand on the research and sure enough, when kids actually push themselves and find, okay, wow, I learned more about this, and now I'm even more into this guy.
Amazing.
You know, and so it's worked really well. And the other thing for teachers, I got to say, I mean, I feel very fortunate in the sense that I'm learning a ton in the sense of what really can educate kids history-wise, because here we are, Bill, we got, 2.5 weeks left of school. I'm finishing my World War II unit. Gosh, I wish my class was a two-year unit. Well, anyway, now for half of my class, I'm going back and reviewing Nathan Hale. Right. So what we're doing is not only are we getting the kids engaged in history, this is a major review. Today, William Clark is involved in a competition against Molly Pitcher. So now
William Clark of Lewis and Clark?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so against Molly Pitcher.
Molly Pitcher and the kids were introduced to Molly Pitcher through American, the Almanac, the one page, great description of Molly Pitcher. That's how they were introduced, and now they're forced to really research a woman like Molly Pitcher. Now they got to work at that.
This is fascinating.
If they want to dig deeper.
I'm curious as to, you said you write down, they write down their definition of courage at the beginning.
Yes.
And then you'll ask them to do this again at the end, right?
Yes.
So they not only will you see what they've learned, they'll see what they've learned. How their understanding of courage has been broadened and deepened.
Absolutely.
Folks, by the way, we have these brackets, and if it's all right with you, Josh, we'd like to make it available to our listeners if they want to see a copy of it. That's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
They can go to BillBennett.com and request it, and we'll send it to them.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Tell us more. And what I'm gonna just update you guys daily. I'll just shoot Chris an email daily as to who's winning and the results, and periodically I'll send an updated bracket form, once or twice a week.
Give us a feel for an argument or something that somebody said in the last week or two that you remembered or that was striking or different or original or something you hadn't thought of.
Oh, I've got one that's really interesting. So about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, we had. It happened. Like I said, these selections, these brackets are random. As far as there's no seeding the heroes, they're randomly selected.
Right,
so we had Tom Burnett of Flight 93.
Yeah.
And then we had Michael Murphy.
Michael Murphy is
a SEAL who was featured in Marcus Luttrell's book Lone Survivor, who basically sacrificed himself in a firefight in Afghanistan, in the mountains of Afghanistan, when his mobile phone wasn't working when they desperately needed reinforcements. Michael Murphy
stood up
and went to a ridge where he would have better reception and was being gunned down by the Taliban as he's making this call for reinforcements. And not only is he calling, he's being polite and, saying thank you as he's being shot. Well, anyway, a lot of my boys in my class have read that book and they're filling in the rest of their classmates. Well, anyway, so it comes down to the vote. And this was an amazing argument. I had a girl who really did a ton of research on Tom Burnett. And she said, they're both heroic. How do we vote? I get that what Michael Murphy did is unbelievable. But he's a Navy SEAL. And this is no disrespect to the SEALs. She said, he's a SEAL. He's expected. I mean, those guys, is why they're SEALs. They do this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And her argument for Burnett was, gosh, he was just a regular guy. He's
just a business guy. Yeah.
A citizen doing something truly amazing. Now, I will say it was a really close vote. I think out of 170 kids, it came within five, and Michael Murphy happened to squeak by. This girl has written a letter to Tom Burnett's wife saying that, hey, I just want you to know he was my guy.
Wow.
I want to thank you that, you know, for him.
Let's roll, right? Tom Burnett was Let's Roll, or one of the guys who there was Let's Roll.
Yeah, one of the guys, yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously the flight. Well, it's evolved into something that it's beyond my wildest dreams. This is the best thing I've done in 13 years, bar none. And I feel like I've done some pretty good things.
This is fabulous. So we got to get word of this out. Have other people seen this? Are you getting any imitators, copiers, people want to do it?
You know, your show is amazing, Bill, in a lot of ways. But when I was on shortly last week, I've already got a ton of interest.
Hang on. We got to go to break. Stay another segment, can you?
Yeah, no problem.
If any of your students wander by, just grab them. We'll put them on quickly. Otherwise, I got a few more questions. Let's open it up to the audience. 866-680-6464.
Yeah, but I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonder.
It's Morning in America. Correction, Todd Beamer probably said Let's Roll on 9/11, not Tom Burnett.
Right.
Both heroes. We're talking to Josh Hoekstra. Do you say Hoekstra or Hoekstra?
I'm a Minnesota boy. I'm going to say Hoekstra. If I was from the UP, I'd say Hoekstra.
I got you. Hoekstra, okay. History teacher, using brackets to teach history. Who's the most courageous American? Lines them up. The kids vote. They have to research it. Fabulous. You were saying about spillover and people interested in it. And again, if people want this, they can write us at BillBennett.com and we'll send them the brackets. But you are getting some interest from others, is that right?
I've actually been asked to put this together in a manual form that would explain the logistics and how to run it.
Great.
And if you don't mind, Bill, I'd love to just send you a link eventually when I have that done. I'm gonna hopefully have that done in June, and I would love to put this in the hands of people. You know, one other thing that's happening is I've got kids who are this is spilling over to the homes where families are developing their own tournament. This is dinner table conversation.
Wow. Great.
And so it's not just for school. It's been awesome.
Two quick calls. Don in Atlanta, Georgia. Don, you're on with Josh.
Good morning, Josh. First, I want to say what you did is brilliant. If there's such a thing as Teacher of the Year award, you ought to be nominated. But my question is you would expect the A students to participate and groove on this and do well. Can you tell me if the mediocre students got as much into it as the stars of the class?
In all honesty, I would say it might even tip the other way. And the mediocre student, those who typically aren't doing as well in the more traditional type of the curriculum, they're so into it because now they have a chance to hear their voice in class and speak on a matter that they're equally as informed as everybody else because it's purely research. And a lot of times a mediocre boy, especially, and gosh, we could go on a different subject of how boys have changed over the years in the classroom. They want to compete.
I'll bet.
These guys want to compete. And so that B, C student, even the D student, all of a sudden he's like, Carlos Hathcock, the greatest sniper in American history, he is my guy. This is my guy.
That's great.
So, yeah,
worthy heroes you're creating. Great.
Yeah, so it really covers all student types.
Wonderful.
And I will say one thing I don't, in the round of 32, I've made a rule. If you don't do the research, you're not allowed to vote. And even the kids who typically don't do homework are now doing it.
Got to do the work. Great.
Yep.
Thank you. I want to go to Mike in Ann Arbor, but any funny moments? Anybody say to get frustrated and say, that guy's a bozo or something?
Oh, absolutely. There are guys who walk out of the class upset. And, you know, it's a family show here. And, you know, I've heard language in the hall that, you know, I cannot believe that guy won, you know, and so
that's great.
There's some heated arguments, that's for sure.
Getting excited about things of the mind. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to teach. What a great thing you're doing. Here's Mike in Ann Arbor. Go ahead, Mike. We got about a minute and a half.
Well, very quickly, you, Mr. Hoekstra, are an example of what every teacher should be, period.
I appreciate that.
You are a teacher.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you.
That's beautiful, Mike. That's exactly right. We don't want to. What do you want to say, Claude?
No, that was a great comment by Mike. That's all. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're laughing because that's the shortest comment Mike's ever made.
Right.
Mike is one of our favorite listeners. Josh, we want to stay in touch with us. I'm interested in the brackets now. I'm dying to see who comes out here in the 8 and the 4. So
we'll keep you up to speed, that's for sure.
I just am so, you know, one of the things I hoped for my books is that people would use their own imagination, creativity. You know, there's so many ways to do this, but the thought of these kids walking out of the classroom and they're angry and they're yelling at each other and saying, how could you vote for Sacagawea over Robert E. Lee, you know?
It's just
hilarious.
Exactly what happens. So. Well, I want to thank you for your materials, too, Bill. It's been awesome. Thanks a lot, and I appreciate you letting me have a chance to speak on it.
It is my pleasure. And, again, what do we got, 2 more weeks before it ends?
Yeah, about 2 weeks. So we're doubling up, 2 matchups today.
Well, we need two calls then. So we need a call from you next week and then a week at the end, all right?
That sounds great.
We want to stay up on it. This is fascinating, and I know all the teachers there are going to write us and get this, and you're probably going to get a lot of mail. Thank you very much, Josh. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good trip to China. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Josh Hoekstra. I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to miss Josh, the history teacher. I'm feeling sad already leaving on a jet plane. Oh, my gosh. But there are things to learn and things to teach there, too. So what a fascinating thing. I'm just so taken with it. Anyway, it reminds you what a teacher is. You know, be a teacher. You'd be a great one. It is a great profession when greatly done. And a terrible thing to do when awfully done. We'll be back.